When I was growing up as a teenager and a young adult, I remember that there was something that we as young Adventist Christians were not supposed to do. Now, granted, it was a different time and a different culture in a different country, but in good Adventist circles, listening to the heritage singers was something that was just not to be done. The church was very conservative, and the sound of the heritage singers was a new sound in worship and in Adventist circles. And I remember how we would sometimes kind of secretly listen to the heritage singers. I listen to them nowadays, and they sound so mild and so benign, but back then and there, it was regarded as really wild music. There was one song, however, that really touched me, that I really liked, and I listened to that over and over and over again. It's a song that talks about the church family being the family of God. It talked about us being all part of this wonderful family of God. You know the song, "I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God." It's actually a Gaither arrangement that the heritage singers and others were singing at the time. And so this morning, I want you to look at the words on the screen. "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by the blood, joint heirs with Jesus. As we travel the sod, I'm a part of the family of God." Most of you know that song, so I'm going to invite you to sing that song this morning. I've asked two of our ladies to help us. Jan's already at the piano, and Helen will lead us. Why don't we all sing that song together and express our belonging to the family of God?
Stand up, get some more oxygen.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Jan. And thank you, congregation, and welcome to the family. Well, family is one big, happy, glorious mess. Welcome to the family. There's something special about family. We laugh, we cry, we fight, we hug. Then we argue and we fight again and we hug some more. But we stick together because we are family, because we belong to each other, and we put up with each other because we are family. The family is under attack. I don't need to tell you that. From all angles, the real, literal family units, marriage and the family is under heavy attack in these days in which we live. And right now, maybe some of you worshiping here in this auditorium this morning, or maybe some of you watching this DVD recording later on, you may be feeling the pain and the suffering of the attack on the family. Maybe you are in the throes of a nasty divorce. Maybe you are experiencing the consequences of a family breakup, of some pain and some suffering that is coming to your family. And so this morning, I want you to know that it's not just the family unit that's under attack, but the family of God is also under attack. The Bible says that the devil goes out after God's family and God's people and God's church, and right now he is attacking the church. We all know the prophecies in Revelation that says the dragon was angry and enraged with the women, the church, and went away to make war against the remnant or the offspring of her seed, those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith in the testimony of Jesus Christ. That refers to the church. The devil is angry with God's church, God's family. That's you and me. And the devil is out to destroy the family, the literal family unit, but also the bigger church family unit, the family of God. But this morning, as we've sung, we belong to that family. We've been washed in the blood. And you know, there's a strange paradox. When the church is under attack from the outside, even though we sometimes have our internal little differences and squabbles from time to time, when the church is under attack from the outside, we always find it in ourselves to stand together, to close ranks and to face the enemy and to wear off and stand off the onslaughts that's on the church. But the enemy is subtle. And it's not so much the onslaught from the outside, because we pretty much do well with that. We close ranks and we stand together and we fight the common enemy. Because the enemy of my brother is my enemy, as the saying goes. But the more subtle attack on God's family is that inner attack. That cancer that eats away at your and my heart, our Christian experience. When we lose our sense of belonging, our sense of unity, our sense of identity as God's family, that's when the church is really in trouble. When we don't feel that we belong anymore. And as a pastor, from time to time, as I visit and speak to people, Some tell me, as somebody just told me this past week, you know, we just don't feel connected. We just don't feel as part of the family. And I want to say to all of our church members, and I'm probably speaking to the choir right now, so let me refer to those who will be watching again this DVD recording as I look straight into the camera and speak to you for a moment. As you watch this DVD, on behalf of this church, I want to apologize to you for us failing to make you feel part of this church. It takes more than one person to create that family atmosphere. It's a two-way street. And if you feel a little disconnected, if you don't really feel part of the family, even though you may be sitting on the pew this morning, I invite you to reach out. Let it start with you. Don't wait for the others to reach out to you, but you reach out, because there may just be somebody out there that feels the same way. And if you reach out, you may make all the difference. Let's create that sense of belonging. Psalms 133 verse 1 says that there's something beautiful in God's sight. It says how beautiful or how good and how pleasant it is when brothers, or some translations say God's people, live together in unity. It's something beautiful in God's sight when there is a sense of belonging, a sense of unity amongst us. You know the old expression that says, blood is thicker than water? And that is so true. And most of us here this morning belong to two different sets of families. We belong to our blood family, our blood relatives, whom we couldn't choose, by the way. But we also belong to a family that we chose to be part of. And sometimes, if our blood family are not Christians as well, that blood is not so thick, as you know. It may be very thin and very weak, and the blood of our church family is stronger. And Jesus put it so well. There's a reason for that. One day Jesus was busy preaching and healing and just very, very busy. So busy that he hardly had time to talk to his own blood family. And so they were standing outside there waiting for him to finish healing and preaching so that at least they could have a little chat to him. So people brought the message to Jesus and said, your mother and your brothers are out there. They want to talk to you. And Jesus turned to the crowd and he said, who is my mother and my brother and my sister? Let's pick up that story in Matthew chapter 12, verse 49 and verse 50. Pointing to his disciples, Jesus said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. There is a blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, that binds us together. And if your blood family out there are not committed Christians, you know exactly what that means. There is a closeness, there is a togetherness, there is an affinity that you and I feel with our church family, those who are bound to us by the blood of Christ, that is much stronger than even our immediate family who may not be professing Christ. And so I trust this morning that you will find shelter and comfort and protection and understanding and acceptance and encouragement and hope in this family that we call the family of God. your church family. I trust that you will experience what it means to be part of that family. There's a verse that preachers often use, and sometimes we apply it a little bit wrongly because it is such a practical verse. It encourages us to come to church and to attend church. But I think there's something more to it than just that in those verses. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, that well-known chapter that talks about not neglecting the assembling together of the saints. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "Not giving up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Now, to get the full impact of this verse, we need to go a little earlier and a little later. So let's read the verse before, because it gives us the setting. Verse 24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." God says, you, as a member of the church, as a member of His family, you need to look out how you can spur somebody else on with encouragement and hope. Don't just come to church and sit on the pew and get up and walk out. Take some time to look around, and maybe just a friendly handshake, maybe a hand on the shoulder, maybe a little word of encouragement. And especially if you know that somebody is hurting, somebody's going through a hard and a difficult time, just a little word of encouragement will go such a long way to help that person feel part of God's family. So spur each other on, this verse says. But let's go back to verse 25 that we read earlier on. Not giving up meeting together. Look at that last little phrase of that verse. It says, "And all the more as you see the day," capital D, "approaching." What day is that? The day of the Lord, the second coming of Christ. This verse has a special message and application to Adventists, believe it or not. That's an Adventist verse. It talks to people who expect the Advent, people who are watching and waiting for that day, the big day of Christ's coming. People who watch out for that day have a special obligation to reach out, to have that sense of togetherness, to encourage each other, to come and not neglect gathering together. Many people who will be watching this DVD are homebound or maybe institution-bound. So some of you during this coming week will be watching this DVD from your hospital bed, from your nursing home where you are recovering. Maybe some of you could have been here this morning, but for whatever reason, you're just not here. And you'll be watching this DVD. I want to tell you that there's something more to church than just watching a DVD, whether it's this one or whether it's some other channel, Christian channel, that you watch on your TV screen. There's something about coming together and meeting with God's family and rubbing shoulders with God's family. So I encourage you, if you can, come and be part of God's family and be here. Be present, rub shoulders with, talk to, shake hands with God's family who are here as well. All the more, the Bible says, all the more as you see that great day coming, as you watch and wait for the second coming of Christ. Cluster together, bind together, be part of God's family. The Bible talks about us forming part of a very important building in Christ. We are like living bricks in a great building. Each brick by itself may be very insignificant, but it's only as those bricks are mortared together, as they are glued together with the cement and the mortar and everything comes together, that those bricks together make a beautiful, beautiful building. The Apostle Paul writes about that in Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. It's quite a long passage that I'm going to read here. Follow with me on the screen. It says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and also members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." The analogy is powerful. As we come together, as we form this family of God, we rise up to become a beautiful living temple, the Bible says. A house where God wishes to dwell through his Holy Spirit. We become a monument of worship. God's special shrine, if you please. So do not neglect coming together. Be part of this family. And ask yourself how you can always do what God wants you to do. Kyle read this morning in our scripture reading about us being part of God's body. He read from 1 Corinthians, but the Apostle Paul gives us the same message in Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, "For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." The truth is that in this family that we call church, this family of God, we are not an island all unto ourselves. The Bible is very clear that we all belong to each other. We all have a responsibility to each other. This morning I want to spend these moments with you to talk about the wonderful, awesome privilege of being part of God's family. Indeed, it is a privilege. Don't neglect it. Don't look down upon it. Treasure it with all of your heart. It's a wonderful privilege to belong to God's family. In a subsequent part two of the sermon, we'll talk about the responsibilities that go with that privilege that we have. But this morning, I just want you to bask in the wonderful knowledge that you are part of the blood of God. You are part of his family. Not only is it a privilege, but it's actually a right. As an heir, you have a right to sonship and daughtership. In John chapter 1, verse 12, we read about that responsibility, but also that right that we have. "Yet," verse 12 says, "to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You want to say amen to that? Just like an heir has a legal right to the inheritance of his father, so you and I have the right to the inheritance of God that he has left for us in Jesus Christ, eternal life and a heaven that he has prepared for us. To all who believe, he has given that right and that privilege. So this morning, beloved, treasure your membership in the family of God. Look upon it as something very special, very precious. Don't neglect it. Reach out and help others to feel that they are part of the family of God. If there's somebody that you sense that's a little bit on the fringes of this family experience, reach out to them. Draw them in through your love and through your friendship. When there are things happening at church, like I see in our bulletin, there's a social coming up. Let's all come together. Let's play and laugh together. And at other times, we'll all cry if necessary and pray together. But it's what it means to be part of a family. It's the ups and downs, the good times and the bad times. But we stick together. We stick together. We hang in there. We put up with each other. All because we are the family of God. God bless you.